Vibes, welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K26. As always, I am Mo Moonsi, and alongside me, the legendary coach Brennan Sir, who's coming to you today with a fresh new trim. Coach, how you doing?
God, I look 10 years younger. I could do this show for another 15 years, Mo. I'm ready to go, baby. Ready to go.
Looking like brothers, you know. I turned another year older today, Coach. And I, you know, I celebrated. I went to play pickup with some friends the other day. We had a late night pickup run. And, you know, I played with some of my friends. And one of the guys at the run was a kid that I used to see at the park when I was younger. And he was like a kid. Like, I was like 18. He was like 10. And he was just learning how to play basketball. Now he's become really good, right? But I am no longer really good. I'm an old man now. So, you know, I'm just setting screens, making passes. I threw two passes, Jokic-esque passes, because really and truly, the truth is I just weren't trying to run that much. But I was just making plays for my teammates. And these kids, they go, "Ooh, Unk's in the building. Yo, Unk's throwing them dimes." I said, "Damn. I'm really Unk now. I've reached Unk status. So I'm feeling about 15 years older than I really am, because they call me Uncle and they're only about 5 years younger than me now." So father time waits for no man.
And for our listeners all over the world, you are the whopping age of 31.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. They call me Unk. Meanwhile, these guys in the
I'm really having trouble fitting into this conversation. Experience will be a great teacher for you, but I'm glad you still have game, and I'm glad that you really think in your brain you're Jokic. That's good. That's good. I like it. Very good. But Jokic made some of the best passes I've ever seen this past week playing. The guy, you never think a guy can get better. This kid, I mean, he's your age almost, but he's still a kid to me. Boy, he's amazing, and his creativity for the game, love of the game, is just boundless, I think.
He's unbelievable, and you know, he's always in that MVP conversation. And this year, as we've mentioned before on the show, you have so many guys: Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Wemby, Shea. But there's another player I wanted to talk to you about today, Ooh. Coach, who believes that they should be in the MVP conversation. And that is one Mr. Cade Cunningham. Because the Detroit Pistons, who 2 years ago lost 28 straight games, have now won 5 straight games to go top of the East, sitting at 7-2. And Cade Cunningham thinks he should be in the MVP conversation. He's putting up 25.6 points, 9.7 assists, 4.8 rebounds, while shooting 46.6% from the field. He thinks he should be the MVP. The Pistons are top of the East. How are you liking what you're seeing from Detroit right now?
You know, I look at things differently at this stage of the year. You know, we're in the, not even in the first 10% of the, you know, the season. Basically, we're in that 10 to 20% area. And I look at it, and I look at different things. I look for all stars. I look for all MVPs. And now for depleted American team. I'm trying to think of Eric Spoelstra's 28 Olympic team. I've got Cade Cunningham as a definite yes. On that team.
Absolutely.
I think he is fantastic. I remember when he was coming out of college, you know, he's another Mount Bird Academy guy out of Florida, playing on one of the great teams of all time, their high school team. You know, with Scotty Barnes, that group was all on the same high school team, if you can imagine that. And when he went to Oklahoma State, you know, it was a surprise pick, but that was because his brother was the assistant coach. And so they went there. This guy's 6'8". He's a real point guard. He does everything, but he controls the game. That's what I love about him. Got magic type qualities.
He's an absolutely phenomenal passer. I don't think his passing gets enough credit. You know, a lot of people have been speaking about this week, his ability to make plays for his teammates, throwing, you know, early passes in transition, making plays in the half court. His passing really is phenomenal. And just, you know, for any of our listeners who are listening, if they're not yet playing NBA 2K26, they need to get involved, because season 2 is in full flow. And here's a little secret for you guys. If you're playing point guard on NBA 2K, you want to equip the Cade Cunningham passing style, because boy, I'd be throwing dimes in that 2K rec center. So make sure you get involved with NBA 2K26 and get in the city, get in the rec, get cooking with all of that. And there's my team as well. You can pick up the new rewards that are there and continue styling out your my player. But I digress, Coach. Cade Cunningham passing is phenomenal.
Yeah, the biggest thing, though, is Cade Cunningham has affected winning in Detroit. And as a proud alum of the Pistons, I love that, because we went through hell a couple of years ago losing 28 straight games. What a difference that guy is making. He makes everyone on his team, which is my big thing, better. And all of a sudden, you coach better, you play better, and all of a sudden, your brotherhood of a team is better when you have a guy with that synergy. So I love him. I like what the Pistons are doing. And they are emerging as one of the, like Indiana became last year. To me, they're emerging as a team. If we can ever win a home playoff game, which we haven't done. But if we can do that, I think we're on our way to really being a top four competitive team in the East.
And talking about Cade making his teammates better, Jalen Duren has been absolutely balling. He had 30 and 11, 22 and 22. He's been putting up a double-double almost every night. He's insane on the boards, insane defensively. He's a crazy athlete. I remember seeing this guy in the pre-draft process when he was 17, 18, looking like he was 27, 28. He's an absolute monster, and playing alongside a point guard like Cade has helped his game come along so much. What are you enjoying from the big fella?
Well, you know, I always say, Mo, I always wish, you know, in my afterlife, you know, what would I do? Who would I come back as? And I would frankly come back as one of my dogs, because no one gets treated better than my dogs. But if I came back as a power forward, I'm coming back as Jalen Duren. The guy's got an incredible body. He's a great looking kid. He's got a great personality. His potential, and I hate to use that word, because that usually means you haven't done it, but his potential down the road is for an all-pro player. You know, I had Ben Wallace. I brought Ben Wallace to Detroit, and everyone laughed, you know, how could you bring this guy there? You know, nothing, non-drafted player. He became an all-star, an all-pro, leading defender, rebounder in the league. This guy has that ability. And if he gets Ben's nastiness every night, that's what he's going to be.
Well, the Pistons are one of the toughest teams in the entire NBA. I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing from them. They're a proper Eastern Conference team. You know, yes. Like Eastern Conference basketball is like rough, grind out wins. Western Conference basketball traditionally is showtime. It's flashy. It's nice. You know, Eastern Conference basketball is like, we're in the trenches. We're going to grind out this win. We're going to be physical. We're going to get in your face. We're going to beat you up on defense. You know, Isaiah talks about it on his show. Darvin talks about it on the show as well when he was talking about his time with the Pistons. And that's what I love. This team is showing a true identity of the city that they represent.
Yeah, in England and in London area, you have certain parts of the city that are tough. Well, that's Detroit. They embody. You have to take on, in our football, the Detroit Lions play like they're from Detroit. And the Pistons are now a Detroit team, and that's what I love about them.
I know BJ Armstrong somewhere smiling listening to us talk about Detroit in such a nice
way. Well,
he's
a Detroiter and a proud one, a great Michigander. Him and Scott Perry, both are Detroiters. But, you know, Scott's a real Detroit guy. BJ was for half his life. Then he went to Chicago. He became a champion. But they tried to play like the Pistons. But Chicago and Detroit, similar type of cities, tough cities, nothing like Detroit. And BJ is a Detroiter. You're right.
Well, unfortunately, over in the West, I'm not seeing that same level of toughness from the Dallas Mavericks, who are in a complete disaster right now. They're 3-7, including a loss which shocked me when they played the winless Pelicans, who had yet to win a game so far this season. And they managed to lose to New Orleans, who were without, I think Zion missed that game, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. You know, it's insane to me what's happening with the Dallas Mavericks. I understand Kyrie Irving is injured and out. However, you've traded, we'll talk about Luka later on in the show, but you traded away Luka Doncic, and Nico Harrison said that they are built to win now and in the future. I'm not seeing the win now part of this. I see the win in the future part because you got Cooper Flagg. But I need to remind everyone, the Dallas Mavericks had a 1.8% chance at the number one pick. They only got into the lottery because of a late season injury that kept them out of the playoffs, right? So it wasn't Nico and ownership's plan to get Cooper Flagg. They lucked into it. And yet they're still finding a way to be deeply uncompetitive. And I think I've seen enough personally of the Cooper Flagg at point guard experiment. And it's not a knock on Cooper as the player. He's a rookie still finding his feet in the NBA. I think that you need to put these young players in the best possible situations for them to succeed. And I don't think having him be your point guard is optimal for his development or this team.
Well, I'm a huge Jason Kidd fan. Always have been. As a player from, I've known Jason since high school at St. Joe's, Alameda, California, to his time at Cal, to the time he came into the league. He has developed into a terrific coach with an incredible future in coaching. I'm a Nico Harrison fan. He's a terrific man. I'm a huge Mark Cuban fan and a Patrick Dumont fan. These are great people, good business guys. Every decision you make in business is 50-50 as a coach, as a player, you know, whether you shoot the ball, whether you pass the ball, whether you trade a guy, draft a guy, it's 50-50. I wish everything, the science of it was perfect. It's not. Unfortunately, things haven't gone away. Kyrie, who's arguably top three guards, point guards in the league, in my opinion, one of the most talented guys ever to play in the league as a point guard, the unfortunate injury. We can't do anything about that. I trust that when they get everyone back, and if Anthony Davis can stay healthy, which is a big if, they're going to be okay. But these things they're going through are tough. Cooper Flagg, there's no position on the court for him. He's a basketball player. You put him anywhere. You can put him at, this week he played three when they played D'Angelo Russell at one. You know, you play Klay Thompson at two, he plays three. You just put him on the court. He is a baller, and he's a competitor. I think they're going to be fine, but the start makes a lot of people concerned. I'm not that concerned.
Are you concerned at all about Klay Thompson? Because he has not looked like Klay Thompson whatsoever so far this season.
You will find out, my friend, Mr. Mo, that when you get a little older, you're not the same, okay? So Klay has had a Hall of Fame career, one of the greatest shooters and players that we were at, championship iconic player. As Father Time gets in there, you know, it's difficult. And, you know, now, you know, people are just going to guard him. If you're guarding Klay, you don't leave him alone. You don't help. You don't give up. You just stay with him because the guy's still one of the best shooters, and you don't give him easy shots. He was an elite defender in his prime. But, you know, it's difficult. Now, the NBA has changed from a defensive, you know, focus league to more offense. But Father Time, as you will find out, does take effect. And again, he has to play more minutes and things like that. So unfortunately for him, he can't do anything about that. He's just got to wait for the other guys to come back and Kyrie to get him easier shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, because right now 29% is very uncharacteristic for Klay Thompson. So, sure. Fingers crossed he can bounce back from that. But we mentioned Luka Doncic, and what he's doing for the Lakers right now is simply sensational. But I do have to give credit to what JJ Redick has been doing for them, because without LeBron James, with Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic missing games, they're still 7-3, fourth in the Western Conference. How do you like the Lakers so far this season?
Yeah, I'm impressed. You know, JJ is doing what, you know, very talented, young, smart guys do. They come in and he is on a quick trajectory upwards as a coach. He's got three really good veteran assistants on the bench with him, which is incredibly smart for Rob Pelinka and him to put those guys there. He's got really good guys with him. So I think he's covered in that respect. And you are in this league as good as the talent around you. So guess what? When his players are all healthy and LeBron comes back finally, you will see he will even become a better coach. But he's doing a great job. I watched him closely this week, studied some film on him, and he's really doing some good things. Him and his staff are doing some really good things offensively to get people easier shots. Defensively, I think they're much better. He has a better idea of what to do with his group. But again, this is a hard league. Every night is a hard freaking game. And everyone, I mean, you think about the teams that we mentioned are in last, the money that they're spending on their player payrolls is incredible. An injury to one guy can take you. I mean, the thing that's amazing to me, to get off the Lakers for a second, mm-hmm. is OKC. And with all the injuries that they have to keep people, somehow that train keeps going.
Mm-hmm. They're on almost an unstoppable force with the way that they play both offense and defense. I love their defense. I love the depth they have in their squad, and they're not afraid to play guys. You know, I talked about this when I was covering the Pelicans Thunder game last week on Amazon Prime, that Willie Green had, you know, he had Derek Queen buried in his bench. Obviously, this week he started to play him a bit more with the injury to Zion. But Mark Dagnall was going straight in with Brendan Carlson from the G League in the first quarter to give him minutes because they're lacking front court depth. And just the confidence and trust that OKC have in their guys who are at the end of the bench or they're on two-way contracts. I really admire that. You know, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett on their show were talking about when LeBron returns for the Lakers. They were saying that maybe JJ should think about bringing LeBron off the bench. I don't see in any world LeBron James accepting a bench role. I don't see in any world JJ Redick, his former podcast co-host, bringing him off the bench. Coach, do you see any way LeBron comes off the bench for the Lakers?
I don't know if I can say this. I'm laughing my ass off right now because to think that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett would ever come off the bench. Yeah, right. Okay, so they want the great one of the two greatest players maybe ever in this league to come off the bench. Kiss my, you know what? No, nor should he.
P and KG, man.
Yeah, yeah. I love me some KG. I mean, I do. But that's crazy, and they're trying to get clicks where you and I don't have to. I didn't even know they had a show. I thought yours and mine was the only one that people listen to. But you know, we would never say anything that crazy. And I would love them to have LeBron on as a guest and pose that question to him. But we would never insult LeBron with that because, you know, it'd be like saying to, hey, Michael, you know, Phil Jackson saying, hey, Mike, why don't you come off the bench coming out of baseball, you know, for a while, get your legs back. Mm-mm. Come on. No, you know, a week later, he had 55 in the Garden against Ewing. No, we're not going to do that. Well, yeah, no.
Well, we say that, right? But here's a thought. And it's going to sound insane until I explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But LeBron going to the G League, not to play in G League games, but just to get some reps in practice with the team to get up to that game speed because he's missed, you know, an extended amount of time to start the season. Sure. And people think that would be crazy because the headlines would be wild. LeBron James sent to the G League. They don't remember that in 2020, after Steph Curry only played 4 games before getting injured, to get back in correct conditioning, he went and practiced with the Warriors G League team. We've seen guys like Amari Stoudemire have stretches in the G League. Like, we've seen star players do it before. The headlines would be insane, but that is a possibility, you know, to get him ramped back up without throwing him straight in the deep end at the age of 40, whatever he is now.
I love it because actually, Golden State doesn't have a good setup. Their G League team is 2 hours away in Santa Cruz, which is a place where you should vacation, man of your quality, right on the Pacific, you know, right there. But the Lakers facility is where the G League team is. That's where they play, the South Bay Lakers. And so they're right in the same facility. They practice there. So that's an easy thing. He's going to get all the reps. The thing I can guarantee you is LeBron James, nor should he, step on the court before he is game ready.
Yep. It's still early in the season. They're winning without
him. And we know this about LeBron, maybe better than any player that I've ever, of his magnitude in this league. He knows his body better than anyone. And so he is going to take his time. He didn't even go on the trip this week when they went on a road trip because he is back there. When you go on a road trip, the one thing you can't do is get in shape and condition and do all that. He can do that. He can stay back there with the G League team right now. He can get reps. He can work with his trainers and physio people to get ready, sports science folks. So he's doing that. He's getting ready. He's going to amp up. And when he comes back, you're going to say, my God, he looks like he's in midseason form, and that's what he should do so he doesn't get hurt again.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you see LeBron take a rest for a few weeks in a season, he always comes back looking absolutely insane. But staying in LA, Coach, I need your help on this. What's going on with the Clippers? 3-6, they're 13th in the West. I'm a little bit concerned. I know it's early, but Bradley Beal, Chris Paul have not delivered on what many people expected when they signed with the Clippers this summer.
You know, I think one of our only concerns about them, and I don't have the exact analytics, Mo, you probably do, is that I believe they're about the oldest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think Lawrence Frank and his staff have put together an incredible roster financially, but actually experience playing wise. I love their roster when healthy. Unfortunately, James Harden, no Kawhi Leonard, two guys that were just playing fantastic have been out. Chris Paul has not been able to play the minutes and get numbers, you know, and of course, Bradley Beal, he goes back to Phoenix, which is, even for a veteran like him, is pressure, having delivered 0-for-2 there, and goes 2-for-14 yep. the night when they went there. So this is difficult for him, a kid with great confidence, a good kid. And I keep calling him a kid because I knew him when he was a freshman at the University of Florida, when Drew Hanlon and Billy Donovan, my friends, were training him and getting him ready for the league. I hope he has stuff left in the tank, because if he can really shoot the ball with Harden facilitating Chris Paul, he should be doing well. But when you don't have Kawhi, you don't have James Harden, you're not going to be a good team.
Well, if you want to have the numbers, the average age of the Clippers is 30.8 years old.
And so that's a team for you. That's a team for you.
There we go. Their average age, if you rank it by team's usage rate, by the players that play the most, is 33.9. So 34 years old is the average usage. And their point guard rotation has an average age of 37, which is astounding. So, you know, they're by far the oldest team in the entire NBA. Yeah. The rest of the top five is the Clippers, the Warriors, the Knicks, the Kings, and the Denver Nuggets. So those are the oldest teams in the league. But, you know, with the Clippers being an old team, what really concerns me is that Philly own the Clippers' unprotected pick in 2028, and they own a pick swap in 2029. So without the young players on their squad to develop, their old players carrying a lot of injuries, those draft picks could turn out to be pretty high up, and they're unprotected picks. So Philadelphia, who lucked into getting VJ Edgecombe because they had a year off trying to compete, might end up lucking into another top pick in 2028 and another one in 2029.
The genius of Daryl Morey strikes again. I think that's what this league is about. That's why I like to protect my trade picks. But it's a long way to wait. It's a long way to wait. People care about right now, but a great position for them, the Sam Presses of the world and the Brooklyn Nets accumulating picks. It can be a real boon to your team, you know, unless you get lucky like Dallas.
Well, that's a brief overview of what's been happening with some of the top and some of the bottom teams in the NBA. Unfortunately, you guys, we're having some technical issues on our end, so we're going to have to wrap this episode up nice and short today. But we will be back on Thursday with another episode. Don't worry, we'll be back sooner than you know. If you haven't yet, make sure you do check out our conversation with Darvin Ham from last week and our conversation with Bobby Marks from last week. Both extremely insightful interviews. There's plenty of content. We've got about 800 episodes on the channel that you can dig through, even though this one's a little bit shorter than usual. Coach, sir, I appreciate you. I think the fresh haircut was too fresh. It's bugging out the Wi-Fi.
Do I look good? That's all that matters, okay? Oh,
you look better than good, Coach. Better than good, Coach.
Makes me feel
they're lucky you staying in the house doing this and not out in the club with me, otherwise they wouldn't even be looking in my way
till next Thursday.
Yes, sir.
What do we say, Mo, on your birthday? Get buckets,
you right? Know it. Subscribe to the show, and until next time, get buckets.